regards to the preparations and logistics for our trip to Kruger, I've got 5 members now. I had 6 initially members that will be traveling tomorrow. We're all departing from Cape Town, except for member Gegana, who's attending an oversight visit with the Water and Sanitation Portfolio Committee. So, and Jay as well, just leaving this afternoon. So the rest of the other members will all leave at 12 o'clock, and then there will be 3 support staff from committees, myself, Dr. Watts and Darren, as well as Faith from our communication services in Parliament. So we will leave at 12 and then connect via Joburg, and then we will land in Kruger National Park Airport at 16:15. And then from there, I'm told that there will be 2 8-seater buses that will be waiting for us, and then they will transport us to Ngambeni Lodge that the traveling agency need to finalize, because of the way they didn't have enough rooms, but they're trying to sort us out in terms of the accommodation. And then once we arrive at Ngambeni, then St. Parks suggested that if maybe we could go for a game night drive. That's going to depend on how members feel about that one. Then that's tomorrow. And then the program for Thursday, it's packed. We're starting at 7, and then we're going to finish at 8. So what we're going to do at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning, we're going to have breakfast at Gamene Safari Lodge. And then between 8 and 8:30, then they will transport us to where you guys get into the choppers and the operation room. But before we do that, we will have an infection and a debriefing session. And then after that, you'll get into the planes, and then you will be flying to those hotspot areas. And then you will be there until 6. You finish it around 6. And then go back to the rooms. And then on Friday at 7, we'll have breakfast between 7 and 8. And then from 8:30, we will have a meeting with St. Parks in the department regarding the flyover the previous day. And then we'll have lunch at 12, and then we will depart at 1 or after 1 to catch a flight to just 6 o'clock to work. And then that will be the end of the visit to Kruger. Thank you.
We said to the SANParks management, it would be proper for us to be assisted to fly over the area, because it's quite a massive area. So for you just to come and think that you can have a sense of the area within, whilst you are just walking on your feet or driving, it might not do any justice. So the flyover is one of those mechanisms. Hopefully, to be able to see what we want to see, including if there is any rhino that has been poached or killed on Thursday. We will also, as you have seen, their operational center as well, what efforts have been put by that new center in keeping this sketch, but also any other things that we would like to see, including any fencing that we would like to see that we think needs to be put up in the area. So we'll fly over those areas amongst. So it will be more of an in-local space. Of course, you can't go to Kruger without also looking at what are the, remember when we're doing the public hearings, one issue that came on cropping up was that people just come in and out without being searched. That's what our people were saying. So if we can also have a sense of what's happening at the entry point as well. And any other entry point, there are so many other entry points as well. So we'll also look at all those so that we satisfy ourselves that everything and anything is being done, not only to preserve and protect the rhino, but also everything that is in the Kruger National Park, all the animal species that we have there for future generations. So, but that was just for the briefing. It's something that how we'll get there. And if there are any other suggestions, by all means, that you'd like to make. But broadly, we thought that we'll see the operational center and we'll also see ourselves the areas or the hotspots where these rhinos are being killed, and also the fencing issues, the entry and exit points, as so that we satisfy ourselves that everything is being done to save and safeguard our rhinos. So that's what then speaks to, and unfortunately, I think it's only 5 of us will be going there. It's 5 now. 5 of us. But even if we were 3, we would still go there. Because I think we really understand the importance of us doing everything in our power to deal with this sketch that faces us. I don't know whether you would like to make any comments, colleagues.
No, my only comment here is that it's unfortunate because they are aware that you are coming. It would be nice if we did it sort of like an impromptu visit where they weren't even aware that we are coming so that we can catch them on the edge to see if they are
delighted. Okay, I hear you. Well, yes, I don't remember, Stana.
No, dear, I just wanted to thank the committee staff for the program. I think that I just sent an email to say thank you very much that the course was organized well. And I know that there's an issue with the accommodation, but I said that we mustn't worry. We can sleep next to the rhino at night and take them again to the post.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Chair? These minutes and
we are not correcting, so we wouldn't like to be taken to court by other people, including yourself, by the way. When we fight on some other matter, then you decide to take us to court on the minutes. Okay, now I think But also, in your position, you have the minutes, but also you have this thinking about what should constitute our oversight work for October. If you might want to reflect on that, because what we had in mind, whilst we are doing a lot on the rhino, and we have had public hearings, that's good, the other issue that we've had is this air pollution. We must go to those hotspots, see what is being done, what is government doing, what are those polluters themselves doing, and what are the various spheres of government doing there, your local authorities, your provincial authorities, informed by the Anti-Pollution Act, what are they doing? So that's the first issue. So we have some suggestions, because we've got these 3 hotspots in the country, probably that the power suggests that let's call them. As colleagues will know, we have an oversight week, I think, between the 24th and 28th of November. Our thoughts was that if we agree broadly, perhaps we can then zoom into these air pollution hotspots. That's one issue. Think about it. The second issue is how do we take forward this rhino campaign that we have already embarked on. There is a view that since we have dealt with 3 provinces, Mpumalanga, KZN, and Northwest, there is a view that perhaps we should also just do one, and that's where we are told that we have had many incidents in Limpopo. So we have not been able to do Limpopo because of, amongst others, financial reasons. So that's what we are thinking of, that in consultation with the province there and the national department, maybe we can do Limpopo, but our report will not wait for Limpopo. Our report will come out after we have done Kruger. But apart from doing Limpopo, our view is that, you know, perhaps we must stick to our colleagues in Mozambique, the members of parliament. If there is a relevant portfolio committee that deals with matters of environment, by all means, because again, this comes in the wave of so many arrests concerning people of Muslims. What laws are there? How are they assisting in this, in averting the extinction of our rhinoceroses as Mozambicans? But they are also neighboring this very important jewel that we have, Kruger National Park. How do we work together? So that's one proposition that we are making, that let's speak to them and let's see what they are doing, what more can they do. But not only those members of parliament, the members of parliament in Vienna, members of parliament in China, and all these so-called consuming countries, in whatever way that we get nearer to them. But there are also NGOs and CPOs that are involved in this. Why don't we speak to them as well? So that we see what cooperative measures can we embark on together with the NGOs. And we know that there are some that are getting fundraising for this activity, but how are we using the monies that we are getting for this purpose? Not that we will be getting into people's books, no. But how do we work together to avert this calamity that we are seeing? What we don't have there, but indeed we might also speak to business, speak to South Africa, speak to our religious leadership. Because for us to win this war, we need to bring everybody on board. It's some goals as we met. On climate change, again, that's what you have there. We need to be part of the legislative arm of dealing with this matter. And the waste management, again, our view is that we must visit at some stage these areas of landfills in the country and see whether they are really legal and they are not a, you know, where we're told that, you know, there are some illegal ones, they are banning all the time, all those issues. So it's our responsibility, but also oversight that we need to do over the department, because it's their responsibility. On coastal areas, the issues of ports and jobs, remember we spoke about it, we have not activated our going there. Our tourists continue, not only tourists, but even ordinary South Africans who continue to be killed by sharks in ports and zones. So indeed we need to know what are we doing, all of us, government, local authority, provincial authority. When we are there, when we are there, we must bring everybody so that we get a sense of there are two botanical gardens on biodiversity that are to be established in Limpopo and the Eastern Cape, but there are seven that are in existence now. It will be good that when we have time, we also see what work is being done there. And the last one is just a presentation of this wonderful place that we saw was last week when they were presenting Mr. Mangaliso. But if we agree that amongst others, our oversight work will take these areas that we're mentioning, we have no problem. It will just be the prioritizing of which ones comes first. And from where I'm seated, having started with the Rhino, obviously, that's why we're going to Kruger this week. The next lot will obviously be the question of air pollution from where I'm seated. But again, this is just putting the matter before you, colleagues. When we then meet in a coordinating meeting, we can then take the political discourse further. Honourable Sano.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think we definitely need to discuss this, because any oversight we do needs to be informed by what are our objectives. Because it's all very well, for example, to go to Port St. John's to go and see some poor person being attacked by a shark. But that, we've got to ensure that if our objective as a committee is to reduce shark attacks, we don't necessarily have to go and visit on site. We can get people to come and make a presentation and inform us, because that would certainly save us time and money and things like that. So I think we need to, in that meeting, discuss, and for example, with regards to rhino poaching, if our objective as a committee one of the priorities we choose is demand reduction, then yes, we do need to negotiate with consumer countries and interact with them, but you know, we also have technology like Skype where we can sit and listen and have a chat with someone. So we need to find, first define what are our objectives, because I know that there are investigations being done into trade, for example, and demand reduction in the trade debates are in conflict. So we've either got to choose one or the other and then focus our efforts on that. But I look forward to having that discussion next committee. Thank you, Chair.
That's why because 30% of our sighting does not necessarily mean going to the area. There are many, many ways of killing a cat. Of skin can also drown a cat. but broadly, we're saying these are the issues, and these are not new issues, by the way. We have discussed them, including Port St. John's. We have discussed it. We have said, how do we stop the continued killing? And again, what is behind the killing of our tourists, causing a reputational risk to ourselves as a country when tourists are taken? But how we then do it, indeed, that's where the discussion comes in, that's where the discussion comes in. Because we talked about it, but we did not say, how do we ensure that this killing is stopped? Even if it means we bring people in, or we go there, bring them in there, whatever. But at least we have something to mull over, to think over, and we can then have a proper discourse at an appropriate time. Now, colleagues, you see, we were just making sure that you are ready for your presentation. That's why we started with other peripheral issues, because I was looking around trying to see where the office of the Auditor General now is. I think you were busy trying to get your things together. I'm Jacqueline Tembo. On a formal note, I'm the chair of the Portfolio Committee. Next to me is Miss Madubela. She's the chair of the committee. I will allow members to introduce themselves, because you know, they don't need to be introduced. They are able to speak. In fact, they are employed for that purpose. Honourable members.
I am Thomas Uzulaki Hadebe, member of the Portfolio Committee in Wellington.
Good morning, everyone. Chief Sander, Portfolio Committee member.
Don't mind here who you are.
London Auditor General.
Thank you.
Samuel Umar, Auditor General.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Just to bring everybody on the same page while we're here, when we come back in October, to the next session or quarter of parliamentary work, one of the things that we have to do as parliament will be to look at the performance of all departments as audited by the Office of the Auditor General, financial and also broad performance in undertaking their work as informed by their strategic plans. So this, we then say that since we are a new committee, by all intents and purposes, it might be of help that the Auditor General comes here just to take us through what that process entails, the BRRR process, from where they are seated. So this is basically a workshop. We will not be interrogating the office of the Auditor General. They are here to assist us in this work that we must do when we come back from this other constraint period and oversight 2 weeks that we'll be engaging in. So, yes, done.
Thank you, Chair. May I request that each member gets a copy of each of the tabled reports so that they can be deteriorated during the constituency period and that we come back prepared for our next committee meeting again. I mean, I've already checked the child secretary. I'm going to collect them myself today from the storage room, but I'm just concerned about other members, and they might be too large to email. But if I can just make that request that this gets circulated as soon as possible. Thank you, Jeff.
Let's get to the briefing so that on the basis of the briefing we also have an understanding what are these instruments that we need to have for all members, the ones that are already available and some that might be available very soon, so that we also have a way of getting all these instruments to members. Before members can start with that work, they need to have those instruments at any rate for them to do their work. But let's allow the members to then give us this briefing. What is it that the RRR is, and what is expected of Parliament, but what are the instruments that members of Parliament need to have in their possession, among others. I hope that the presentation will cover those areas. The ball is now in your court.
Good morning, Honourable Jefferson, Honourable Members, and other. I thank the Honourable Jefferson for the introduction in enhancing that the purpose of today's discussion is on the capacity building presentation, wherein the understanding and the role of the AG is understood. And before commencing with the slide, there is a video clip which I would like to play. And that would come a long way in terms of understanding the slides.
populate our communities at large through the various services we receive from them. Sometimes at this point of arrival, things tend to fall apart. These bags need to keep on flowing to take care of all the necessary things that make life as we know it. How do the Office of the Auditor General reach the conclusion of how each municipality or government department or entity has fared on the use of the million bags or million rand? The answer leads to the five types of audit conclusions contained in our analysis and accounting, or as we refer to them, our general reports. An unqualified audit with no findings, which is usually referred to as a clean audit, is when municipality or government department is conducted the way it manages its finances well and transparently. They are able to show the things that were done, and they respected and observed all the laws. They have controls in place which enable them to do their jobs well, and that their use of resources provided by the million bags of a million rand is largely reliable and credible. Secondly, we issue an unqualified audit opinion with other matters or findings. This is where the municipality or government department is good at keeping the books. Unfortunately, they had neglected to check if the services they paid for had been received or done. They didn't necessarily do things in accordance with the laws that affect financial management matters. Quite a number of these required significant levels of assistance during the examination of their records. Without this assistance, they would score worse. In the third instance, a qualified audit is as follows. Here we find those government entities that do not keep accurate and transparent records in limited or isolated areas that have not ensured that they got what they paid for or acted in accordance with the laws that affect financial management matters. Our fourth category is the same as the third, except that these departments and municipalities have been unsuccessful in almost all areas of their operations. This is an adverse audit opinion. Finally, in the fifth category, we find those that are so unaccountable that they are unable to show most of the things they claim to have done with the bags. Nothing they have done makes sense, and nobody knows what happened to the bags. The auditor in this instance cannot comment, hence the disclaimer of the audit opinion. Communication with those charged with governance and oversight. We communicate and inform those responsible for the million bags and advise them what caused the bags to not do what they were made available for. We then pass on the messages to those charged with looking after and securing these bags. The current picture is that in some cases, not much has been done to meet the promises. On the upside, others have met their share of commitment, and we commend them for building reliable systems and processes to meet their promises. While the mass conclusions have been reached, it is disappointing to note that a lot of these bags have been used to promote unfair advantage and undesirable activities, resulting in an irregular and unauthorized expenditure. This is where many of the bags are found to have been used in ways that were not originally paid before the bags were made available to public purse. This offends our sense of what is just and fair, and deals a telling blow to the principle stated in our constitution and general laws that govern public life. Limitations of audit. These outcomes are observed and examined in an environment where the auditors have limitations. At times, they are not able to examine all the records and so apply their judgment after they have taken into account other information and knowledge which they obtain through other work in an audit. They do not profess to give absolute conclusion on the evidence they obtain through their test, but can be relied upon for a strong element of assurance in matters of integrity, governance, and accountability. The standards they apply to the records they examine carry strong brands across many parts of the world. Any user of this information is assured that appropriate diligence, as provided for in these standards, has been applied and tried, and tested methods of independent examination have been employed. Root causes of the audit outcomes. It has been established through analysis of all the information in the financial statements reporting them that there are significant root causes of the poor outcomes. Focused attention in the following areas of financial management will create a transparent and accountable execution of the work. 1. We need to employ people in financial functions who have the required skills to manage finances and maintain an environment where all the records are accurate, reliable, and credible. 2. Key vacancies need to be filled, especially in the finance and service delivery position. 3. There need to be consequences due to an undesirable audit to make sure significant breakdowns in controls do not continue uncorrected. 4. Lastly, there needs to be a system that makes sure that those charged with oversight and governance of these entities have the ability information. Your consistence of your health condition to others in any system is an indispensable part of restoring public confidence. Those charged with public affairs need to restore public confidence in their ability to look after their assets and benefits that flow from the exercise of their duty. And if that root cause is addressed, should be able to experience a public service that boasts the following. A. Proper record keeping. B. Performance of daily and monthly routine controls. C. Production of regular and accurate financial and performance reports. D. Active review and monitoring of compliance. Currently, these key attributes are largely absent from the control environment of most of the entities we audit. Hence, the conclusion we have reached points to vulnerability of the million bags of a million rand. The journey of restoring public confidence in the system of public administration, particularly financial and supply chain management, is ever more important in all the three spheres of government. Transparency and accountability are an indispensable part of this journey. If these are in place and all do the right thing, it is possible that the resources we command as a society are more than enough to achieve most of the aspirations we were and live to see realized. Auditor General South Africa, auditing to build public confidence.
Thank you very much. I hope you all enjoyed the club, and I think what's going to follow now in terms of the presentation, you will now see what the role of the AG is and what we stand for. In terms of the slides, I think the members have been given the slides. I can assume that they have been through them. I just want to zoom in on particular points on particular slides. In terms of the reputation promise, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, we thank you for providing the AGSA with the opportunity to demonstrate to you how our reports can be used to enable oversight, accountability and improved governance in the public sector. And as reflected in our mission statement, we exist in order to support you and your oversight role. I must point out that the audit report should never be read in isolation, but with the rest of the annual report. The purpose of the presentation is to provide members of Parliament with the necessary information, guidance, on the role of the Auditor General of South Africa to enable them to effectively execute their oversight function. This slide mainly encompasses the overall context of the rest of the slides. And your first item is your oversight role. The second one is the audit mandate and process. Then we follow on with the work that we do, and lastly, the briefing process. The role of oversight. If you look at the illustration, it has been taken from the National Treasury Framework for Managing Program Performance Information, and it clearly illustrates where oversight begins and ends. And as you can see, that oversight is an all-year process. If you look towards the left, you will see that that's where the role of the AG as the external auditor. Strategic planning. Budget preparation, implementation, and monitoring. Okay, just hold on. I'm going to zoom in here on the third bullet. I think this stems from the view club that you see. The two action plans exist to address audit findings and improve financial management and accountability. If we look at the starting point, you have an audit opinion. You're either having a qualified opinion, an adverse opinion, an unqualified opinion with, miss, or an unqualified opinion without. And if I can allude to the video clip, it stipulates that the unqualified without is what we're aiming for. And I think in our portfolio, I'm not going to really zoom in on the results at this point in the portfolio. We've We've got the Department of Environmental Affairs. We've got South African National Parks, Sandparks. We've got South African Weather Services, SOAS. We've got Isimangaliso, Wetland Authority. And then we've got South African National Biodiversity Institute, that is CIMBI. Now, if you look at the outcome, if I just give an example, if you're sitting with unqualified work findings, obviously then your work findings will be either performance information or compliance, and or. So if you've got compliance methods or you've got performance information methods, that means you need to develop an action plan. This action plan must be monitored amongst other by our committee, internal audit. And we'll go on later into the slides where you see the oversight mechanisms and you see where the entire picture begins. I'm not going to refer to that as yet. Then in terms of the second last bullet, our procedures in place to identify, prevent and detect fraud. Also later on in the slides you'll find that it is not the Auditor General's mandate to detect fraud. We can come across fraud, but our procedures are not tailored in terms of picking up fraud. However, the ODT, that being the public entity or the department in terms of this portfolio, should have mechanisms to identify, prevent and detect fraud. And yes, as part of our procedures, we ask them for that. Then, in terms of the last bullet there, after put governance arrangements in place and other effective. And here, specifically, we're talking about the internal audit and the audit committee. And I don't know if you remember from the video club, they talked about root causes. Now, if we look at the root causes, and the audit general has come up with a dashboard report, in terms of which we look at what are fundamental root causes. And the dashboard report is broken up into leadership, financial management, and governance. If we look at governance, governance specifically is looking at internal audit and the audit committee. Is the audit committee effective? Are they enhancing accountability? Are they doing what they're supposed to do? Is your internal audit playing a role such that it is improving the internal controls within the Department of Public Entity and is it assisting in improving the audit opinion? And if we look at financial management, that again I'm going back to the video club, maybe we're saying, are there daily monitoring controls? Are the financials prepared in accordance with the required framework? And then others as well. If we look at leadership, one of the items that fall under leadership would be action plans. Do action plans exist? And are they being monitored? And as time progresses, is the opinion improving? If we've got another example, if I give you, if you've got a Department of Public Entity with many qualifications, and the next year, the same items have been qualified, that means there's no improvement. So obviously we need to go to the root cause. Is there still a problem? Is internal audit not helping the scenario? Is the audit committee not helping the scenario? Right? Okay, now, compliance assurance. In terms of this slide, there's three levels of assurance. Your first level of assurance would be your senior management, your accounting officer, that being, for example, the DG, and your executive authority, that being the minister. So in terms of your first level of assurance, if you look at senior management, immediate action to address specific recommendations and adhere to financial management and internal control systems. That's your first line. I'll give you another example. And I hope you'll appreciate the example and not think it's far-fetched. You get a soccer team. Okay, Honorable Chairman, I think your parents have lost one. So, if you look at, for example, okay, as the Honorable Chairperson has mentioned, Orlando Pirates, how did the one will go? You've got your midfield, you've got your forward, and you've got your defense. Now, if you look at if your position goes through your defect, that means it's went right through your third level of assurance. And simply you've got your midfield, and that could be your second level of assurance. And obviously I can't say your fourth would be your first level, it would be your midfield level. But if you can just make that analogy, see that it somebody tears through, right through all three levels of assurance, that means it hasn't been picked up, and that's where you have an adverse opinion. So if you look at your oversight, your second level of assurance, and there I'm going to just specifically mention this internal audit in the audit committee. Your third level of assurance being your portfolio committee. Okay. In terms of this slide, I'm just going to zoom in on the second one. The update on progress of current year audits, sharing of audit risks, and stages of key controls. This is some of the work that we do. We have quarterly meetings with the DG or the CEO of the public entities in terms of where we've got this headboard. We have said to you that there's three, of course, fundamentally, leadership, financial management, and governance. And we share what is the status of this audit team at that quarter. So, for example, we are now ending September. So that would be your July, August, September. That's a quarter. We will meet with the DG and share with her the status of the dashboard in terms of her department. Then in terms of bullet three, that is where we do the proactive audit approach. That's before the APTs is reviewed by the portfolio committee to discuss the findings identified from the proactive audit of the PDO, that is your predetermined objectives of, well, it says the department, it could be the public entity as well. Okay. Moving on to your audit mandate and your process. Point one is where our mandate stems from. Yes, directly from the Constitution. Section 188 is the Auditor General, the mandate to audit government institutions and to report to Parliament, Legislature. In terms of the second point is the Public Audit Act, and that's where the Public Audit Act comes from, wherein the Auditor General must prepare an audit report containing an opinion or conclusion on financial statements and financial position, compliance and financial management, and predetermined objectives. And I think later on in the slide we will zoom in more detail on in terms of that. Then the Public Finance Management Act, Section 41A and B, that's where the account officer has got the responsibility of record keeping and preparing financial statements for audit. In terms of this point, I'd like to emphasize that it is not the Auditor General's responsibility to draft financials, to assist in drafting financials, because if that is what the Auditor General does, then year in, year out, the client, the auditee, the department, the public entity would need the assistance of the Auditor General in to get to clean administration. Now, if that occurs, what is the real role of the CFO? And I always mention this, or not always, but in many of the audit committees, many of the audit steering committees with the client, that the Auditor General, when we receive a set of financials on the 31st of May, it must be a crisp set. It must be a set in terms of which the reporting framework is adhered to. If you look at a public entity, it's grabbed. They must adhere to all the principles of CREM. The Auditor General audits in terms of that framework. Now, those CREM standards or the modified care-based standards, those standards are available. It's not a secret, it's not a document that we keep in secrecy and say, no, here's a finding in terms of this.
Before you continue, when you use acronyms, you might think that we know what CREM is. Just say CREP, then say it in full as well. So it's just for the purpose of all of us.
Okay. Sorry for that, Chairperson. Generally recognized accounting principles. Okay. These are just aspirations that the AG had for the public service. These are the visibility of the AG beyond the mandate. And now we move on to the work that we do. The AG products, and in terms of this, if you look at the green somewhere to the top, the regulatory audits are supported by the information systems audit, performance audit, investigations, and special audits. This slide encompasses the work that's done, the performance auditing, and it's more to do with the triple E. Effectiveness, efficiency, and economy. And I think if you remember a lot of that, we did a performance audit on consultants. The consultants was a theme. And that was a theme chosen by the AG in terms of the performance audit, where consultants was done across various departments. The regularity audit, what we do and what not. The left-hand side of this table, we provide assurance that the AFS, the annual financial statements, are free from material misstatement. Let me talk a little bit about this. If the opinion is unqualified, would mean that we're giving an assurance to say that, a reasonable assurance to say that the figures that are reflected within the financial statements do not contain material misstatements. The second bullet is your report on usefulness and reliability of the information in the annual report. And I think later on we will touch on a more detail in terms of this. That's when my colleague Dave will be talking to you about that. Your third bullet, on your left-hand side, your report on material non-compliance with relevant laws and regulations, for example, the PFMA, the Public Finance Management Act, then identify key internal control deficiencies to be addressed. And that comes from your dashboard. We use those fundamentals of Ministry of Financial Management and Governance. On your right-hand side is what we do not do. Second bullet, as I mentioned previously, we do not identify fraud, but it would be. In our audit procedures, we could come across fraud, which we will report. The third bullet on the right hand side, do not provide an assurance that service delivery has been achieved. I think later on, when the test touches on the report on usefulness and reliability, you will start to understand what is it that we give comfort on. Then the timelines of the regularity audit cycle. On the 31st of March is the year end. So if you look at the department or the public entities, that is sort of the timeline that we report. They're reporting on a financial year, commencing 1 April and ending 31 March. Now, from 31 March, there is 2 months that they have to submit financial statements and the predetermined objectives to the Auditor General. That is on the 31st of May. From the 31st of May, there's 2 months left until the signing of the audit report, and that is on the 31st of July. That applies to the public entities and to the departments. You audit the financial statements in specific focus areas. Your first main item is your financial statements. And as mentioned in the previous slide, that we give an opinion on whether the financial statements are prepared in all material respects in accordance with specific applicable financial reporting framework. And if I go back to that example of GRAP, which is the generally recognized accounting principles, in terms of GRAP, we need the public entity must have adhered to core principles of GRIP in drafting its set of financial statements. The next item is your predetermined objectives, and as I said, you on your usefulness and your reliability, those are your assertions, which Dave will touch on in more detail later on. And then your compliance with applicable laws and regulations, for example, the Public Finance Management Act. Good administration in audit. This was specifically mentioned in the video clip. And this is a scenario in which you have unqualified financials, no material findings on compliance, and no material findings on predetermined objectives. The different types of opinions. You have an unqualified, unmodified. And a lot was said about this in the clip as well, where your financial statements give a true reflection of you in accordance with the applicable financial reporting framework. And as I mentioned earlier, that means we give a reasonable assurance and comfort that the financial statements, the figures that are reflected therein, do not contain material misstatements. Then you have an opinion that is unqualified with mess. That is a scenario in which you've got no qualification. That means your financial statements fairly reflect. However, you could have non-compliance and or predetermined objectives. Your next opinion is a qualified opinion. And in terms of this opinion, the financial statements contain material misstatements. Okay, I think at this point, I'm going to hand over to my colleague, Ritesh.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, esteemed guests. In terms of the opinion being a disclaimer, here we're saying that there's no documentation in terms of how the financial statements were drafted, and here we cannot issue an opinion. Therefore, basically, this lack of proper record keeping for us to actually express our opinion because the financial statements are not based on any records. They get an adverse opinion whereby the auditor and management has disagreement. And this disagreement is actually material and it is pervasive and fundamental. When you say pervasive and fundamental, we say that it affects majority line items in your financial statements. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about predetermined objectives. When you talk about predetermined objectives, actually the performance of the entity or the department. And if I can just go back and in terms of predetermined objectives, we've got a strategic plan that comes from a department or from an entity, which then filters down into your annual performance plan. From your annual performance plan, then you see, okay, there's a budget process that takes place, and this budget needs to be aligned to each objective and of the entity. And when you look at it, also look at, the DRR process, obviously part of this process where you look at in terms of your recommendation to Treasury in order for your budget to actually be aligned to your two objectives. And that is where your recommendation will actually come about to say, okay, are we really, is it adequate for the year in terms of the budget to be aligned to your objectives and stuff. What are the objectives carried out in the prior year as well? And look at this in conjunction with the annual report, which was actually given together with your financial statements. And in terms of the reporting, when it comes to reporting, you get compliance with regulatory framework requirements. And you have a look at in existence, is there a step 10 place, is there an annual performance plan in place? We look at the timelines. When was the tabled in Parliament? When was the strat plan tabled in Parliament? When were your annual performance plan tabled? In terms of usefulness, we look at the presentation. In terms of the presentation, we look at the variances between the targets that are met and your targets that you actually set out for the year. look at the measurability, usability of your target annual indicators, whether they meet the SMART criteria. We look at the relevance of the relevance as we mean it, is it logical and is it aligned to the mandate of the entity or the department. In terms of consistency, we look at the strat plan and is it in line with your annual performance plan. When we test on reliability, we look at the validity, accuracy, and completeness of targets which were actually reported in the annual performance plan, which is contained in the annual report. In terms of the structure of our audit reports, our audit reports are set out in a way whereby you have your introduction, whereby you set out the responsibility of the accounting officer authority, the auditor general's responsibility. We give you the opinion, that opinion was issued to the entity or the department. The emphasis of the matter is whatever matter needs to be drawn to the attention of the users. Additional matter as well, if there's additional matter that also should be highlighted at coming year. In terms of reports on legal and regulatory department requirements, we look at the predetermined objectives, which is obviously a report on, as mentioned in the last slide, in terms of the compliance, in terms of usefulness and reliability of the predetermined objectives. And the compliance with laws and regulations is in terms of the treasury regulations, PMA, etc., in terms of what we order. The internal control is linked to your is linked to your opinion and is linked to your findings on predetermined and compliance. So when we have a finding on your audit report, it will be directly linked to your internal control and will fall within the three categories, being leadership, financial performance management, and governance. Other reports, what we spoke about earlier in terms of investigations, performance reports, and agreed upon procedures, if this was carried out during the year as a department or entity, it will come here. Okay. Let's head over to somewhere to go back to the briefing process.
We start the entire process, we have SONA, which is the State of the Nation Address. And we have the E&E, your Estimate of National Expenditure. Within your annual report, you've got the Account Officer and the Audit Committee's report. You've got your annual report, which includes your audit report and your performance report. And then you've got briefing notes. Okay, now, in terms of the Department of Environmental Affairs and its entities, we are having a meeting, and that's the next meeting, which is in October, in terms of which we will zoom in on the outcomes for the 13-14 financial year. However, we just reflected here the financial results for 12-13.
Chairperson and members, I just want you to take note as well, this is not the current status of the department and its energies, it's actually reflective of 12-13 audit. In terms of the annual report, this is just information in terms of what your annual report contains and how it is as we drafted. So I'm not going to go through that one. In terms of the annual financial statements, here is where we have the report of the Audit Committee, the report of the Accounting Officer, and the report of the Auditor General, which comes before your financial statements is actually published in the document. If we look at the audit outcomes, in 12-13, the opinions issued to the Department of Environmental Affairs was unqualified word matters. And the word matters actually came about as there was a the statement, the financial statement that was correct. So in terms of this, it led to a compliance issue. This compliance issue was basically that the financial statement issued on the 31st of May did not comply with the required framework. In terms of Ishimangaliso was a clean audit report for 12-13. There were no findings. In terms of Sandy had an audit report which was unqualified with matters. And the message that it had was relating to compliance. They also had a material misstatement that was corrected. observed or picked up by the auditors. In terms of South African National Parks, South African National Parks is clean with no masses to report on. In terms of South African Weather Service, South African Weather Service, as we had a finding in terms of predetermined objectives. And if you look further into this document actually breaks down in terms of the different compliance issues that we have that we report on. Further breaks down in terms of the finding of predetermined objectives when we, as we went through earlier on. It's also further broken down into focus areas that we look into when we do our audits, this one being procurement, human resources, IT, and financial health. It is further broken down into unauthorized expenditure, illegal expenditure, and fruitless and wasteful, which there was none for the 12-13 financial year. If you look at this picture actually goes back from the year 2008-2009, right until the year 12-13, and it will show you the different trends for the environmental affairs portfolio. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let also welcome the other colleagues from the Office of the Auditor General. By the way, I might know you. You might not be known by the members here, so it's only fair that you introduce yourself. I see somebody has decided to talk. I don't know where you have gone to, but you can introduce yourself, madam.
Morning, Chair. Sorry for being late. My name is Kunai Meiber. I'm business executive responsible for this portfolio.
Thank you. We are, and of course, as we have said, this gives us the tools and the thinking behind the work of the Auditor General and how it relates to work that we'll be undertaking in October. So that was the exercise. Without venturing into the work we are going to venture into in October. But I think what is also of importance, it gives us the history of the performance of the department and its entities in relation to the audit work by the Office of the Auditor General, which I think is quite helpful for us to do our work. Considering the audit for the year 2013-2014. Of course, it also says what are the instruments that we also need to have for us to be able to undertake this work. Again, then let's thank you. This has been helpful. Colleagues, any words from yourselves? Bunga.
Thanks very much. It was a very informative session and the presentation. What I would like to note here, is it possible for us as members of the portfolio to get this quarterly report between the minister and the AG, or we can only access them through the National Treasury website? Is it possible to get the copies, or just to have a glance of what is quoted on this on the discussion that they have with the AG's office?
Thank you, Chair. In your presentation, you outlined the tools for us to provide our oversight, but also made it clear what the AG does and does not do. So our role is to fill those gaps. Now, what are the lists? What is it? If you could list the things that we need to interrogate as a committee and equip ourselves with knowledge. For example, the Public Finance Management Act. We would need to know those things in order to do our oversight role. We need to understand the GRASP principles. We need to understand what is the modified cash stand, et cetera, et cetera. What would you advise us to ensure that we go through all of these things so that when we interrogate the report, we know what to look for and we know what to interrogate? And then I see that you've provided the breakdown of the audit outcomes for the last financial year. Is this a standard report that you... I think it's the one just before this. Yeah. Do you do this every year, and or would we have to request such a breakdown? Or because this is, you know, you're very well having an audit report, but this is quite informative. And then, for example, if there is a disclaimer with findings, on material statement, for example, what do we as committee, where can we learn how to understand what do you as the Auditor General mean by material misstatement? Is there some place that we can check on the website or something like that so that we can familiarize ourselves with the terms? I also had shared my colleague's request for the quarterly dashboard, and that's a thank you, Chair.
Yeah, before you come in, if we can just suspect it, the department would obviously produce its plans for the year. So what is normally referred to as strategic plans. Now, I remember when some of us were in Parliament, because we had taken leave from Parliament, what the Auditor General did was financial auditing at the time. It would be good, and assistance to members, if you can, you do speak to it, but you're not making reference to what used to happen some time ago, where the Auditor General looked at finances only and did not care about performance. But then the Auditor General at some stage felt that, you know, you can't just be looking at finances and pay a scant regard to the performance of the department in meeting its own strategic plans, because it's not helpful to your auditing processes. So I think these are two very important aspects that you might as well speak to as you try to respond to the issues that have been raised by members. But let's leave it to your friends to respond to the issues. Yeah.
Thank you, Jefferson. I think in terms of, I'm not going to respond in order of the questions. I'll go for it. I'll try and cover everything. In terms of the list of things we can interrogate, I've got a few examples here, like the PFMA, Public Finance Management Act, CREP, which is generally recognized accounting principles, and that's the framework for the public entities. Then, in terms of the department, it's a modified cash standard. In terms of the predetermined objectives, you need to go through the guidelines issued by National Treasury. Chairperson, I think in terms of the draft, the general recognized accounting practice, it's very technical. I think we took years to study. So, yeah, just bear that in mind, that you're not going to read it the first time and understand it and go look at the financials and really understand the principles that are contained.
Yes, and just inform members where they can grab it. So that, of course, we don't expect, when like everything you do in life, you don't just get in it and understand it. But with time, you are able to apply it to your work. So where do we get this crap? These generally acceptable accounting standards, is that what you call them? Accounting principles. Wherever they are, what is this generally acceptable in terms of accounting standards? And where can we get it? You don't have to give us a letter here, but send us to where, that's based on what members are saying. Where do we grab this scrap?
It's on the ASBSS, the accounting standards board, in terms of all the standards being listed here. There are quite a few standards, and it's broken down quite nicely. It even gives examples sometimes in the standard as well. I think it's also worth mentioning that in terms of us reporting, in terms of non-adherence to a specific standard, and for you to grab us the first time, if you need to look at what is behind it? For example, if you say, if we are saying, okay, the revenue did not adhere to the graph for the year, so which means the financial statement wasn't produced in line with graph for revenue. I think it needs to be interrogated much more further, and that's where you can come in to say, but as an entity, as a department, how come you did not do this? Did you not have proper records keeping in place? Or what mechanisms did you not have in place? Did there no monitoring mechanisms for you to go about doing this? How is financial statement being presented? Are you presenting the financial statement? Is the people in the entity having the necessary knowledge of the graph of the enterprise and the finance? Who do the finance?
I can just add to what I've been saying. I think Fanipa's correct to say it's very technical, and I think that's where we also have a role to play. And there was also a question in terms of quarterly reports that we share with the accounting officers and with the minister, and also with the chairpersons. We're also more than willing to come on a quarterly basis if the committee wants us to come and share the quarterly, our quarterly dashboards, because as Rish also mentioned, it's really there that we focus on what is the key issues that need to be fixed within the portfolio. Is it action plans, is it skills, is it leadership? And that for me is where as a committee you will find more benefit and more assistance in your role as oversight to focus on those things. I mean, currently, and as you've seen in the history for the portfolio, for the last 5 years there were no qualifications. So I wouldn't at this point put my focus on understanding grad. I would rather look at the other underlying issues that is preventing some of those entities to become clean, which in most cases is non-compliance and due to the CFMA. So that is where I will rather start the understanding of the role of oversight when it comes to the audit reports. And then obviously our audit reports as well, that is a critical tool because one of the last part in the audit reports is internal control weaknesses. So there we, in our understanding, document and say what is the root cause for non-compliance that we've identified. So if you only focus on that, it will also give the committee guidance and direction as to where to focus attention to assist the entities of the department to get to clean. Maybe that helps. And then, yeah, I've spoken about the quarterly reports that can be made available. That the dashboard that is there, we do prepare it annually. Yes, so that we can make available on the quarterly basis. We always say that we don't speak about people without talking to them. So by the time that we can share it with you, we will have been through a process of discussing it with the accounting officers, with the minister, and then on an invitation from the site. I mean, we're more than willing to come share that with you. And then that other one, that long document, I think it was that one, we do prepare that also on an annual basis. It's part of our general report. And so that is also available that we can share that with you. It's also that type of information that we will share during the BRRR process when we cover chief.
So you are right when you say, because we will obviously interact with the department on their quarterly performance. So as we interact with them, whatever information you have might come in handy to assist the committee in its oversight function, which then obviously comes in handy with the request being made here. Yeah. So when we do that, we will obviously invite you. When you are available, we know that you are also stressed because you need to do the auditing, you audit entities, you audit municipalities, you audit provincial departments, national departments, and how many are you? 30? Okay. How many are you all in all the office of the auditor general?
She was about 3,000 members in the IG.
Okay.
But she, that is our commitment to the portfolio committee, that we are there to assist, and if there's an invitation, we'll really try and do our utmost for somebody to be present at the meeting.
Do you have a dedicated team? Because obviously in Parliament, yeah, but these clusters of committees, we belong to the economic cluster. At times they say we belong to the social. At times I'm also confused exactly where we belong, but be that as it may, do you have dedicated teams that are concentrating either on the portfolios or on the clusters?
Chair, from our side, we have dedicated teams that work on the portfolio, not necessarily on the cluster, but definitely on the portfolio, which Samantha is the senior manager of. So it will either be myself or the person that is business executive of the unit, and then Samantha. I think when I was engaged with you previously, I did inform that I'm rotating, that the person who is coming to take over from me, he will be responsible for this portfolio together with me, and they will be the dedicated people assisting you.
That makes things easier. So you can call you every day. Yeah. I think from our side, this is quite helpful. But from where you are seated, I raise the issue of if Parliament is like, because Parliament and the legislatures, they don't do so much audit oversight in a local level. But from the province and national, over years, people got so much used to interrogating financial auditing. And I think this auditing that includes performance auditing, which they also now have to oversight, started about 2-3 years ago. Are you getting by that we are getting our handle on it, even our understanding as parliaments now, provincial and national, you and the Office of the Auditor General? Are you think, do you think that we are getting them as institutions now, not necessarily as institutions, and the frameworks that we have put into place, are they doing justice to our oversight work assisted by yourselves on performance and financial audit?
Thank you, Jefferson. I think in terms of the portfolio, reflect on the portfolio, which we'll reflect in detail in October, I think some elements of the portfolio are getting the hang of the performance information. There is certain elements in the portfolio where we also reflect in our report if there are material amendments to the performance information, which could link up to particular root cause issues. So also in terms of that, if you look at the financial statements, it's quite material amendments, it could be linked to skill. So, and I think, in terms of the, I think you alluded to where we previously only looked at the ASS, the financial statements and compliance. I think we then had a phase-in approach on the pre-determined objectives. And this phase-in approach began way back. And also, we've come to a point where we're in the state of a conclusion opinion. So they will be, in 4 or 7 years, where we will give an opinion, a separate opinion on predetermined objectives.
Well, if there's anything that you still want to raise before we close so that you can go home,
in the way of my famous self, Chair Smart.
Chair Smart. Okay. I think yes, Osama.
Chair, in previous Auditor General reports that I've seen, in the opinion, it normally says we find qualified or unqualified with findings or whatever, but in this current one, it doesn't.
Which current one?
The 2013-2014. I don't need to go into the reasons, I just wanted to know if there's been a change in the way the Auditor General reflects its opinion now. So it would, a normal audit reports of the Auditor General would still clearly state whether it is a keen audit or whatever, because I just don't see that here. I just want to know if it was changed. Okay.
Whilst they stick to that, they must also refer us to what they said as they started their presentation, because they mentioned varied outcomes of the audit, of their audits, so that we might as well have to go back there to their, to the presentation that they've made. What are the various outcomes that might come out of their audit? But let's hear you.
Thank you, Chair. There's no change in terms of the opinion paragraph as we had it in the previous year.
We don't specifically say whether it's a clean audit opinion or an unqualified opinion. And maybe that is where I need to go back to the different types of opinions. If it's a clean audit opinion, you will see it in terms of the opinion will say that the financial statements as prepared is fairly stated, and there's no reference to anything else. And then there will also be no non-compliance findings, and there will be no findings based on performance information. So if there's no findings right throughout the entire report, it is a clean opinion. Compared to...
In no way did not say it's clean opinion.
There will be no... there will be no specific wording to say that it's a clean opinion. Then in terms of the unqualified with findings, will be the same opinion, saying the financial statements is fairly stated, and then you can either find finding under non-compliance or performance information. So you will see it can be both or it can be one of the two. As soon as the findings, the detailed findings, either one of those two, we say that administration in that entity is not as clean and the control is not as strong as it should be. We already use the comparison of the patient, where we say that if a patient is healthy and goes for annual checkups, and everything is fine, we say clean and there's nothing wrong. If a person starts getting high blood pressure, you go to the doctor maybe every 6 months or so to get medication. If you maintain that, I mean, you won't regress, but you're not healthy in terms of clean. If you stop using your medication and you go to the doctor, they might come and say, you know what, I need to admit you to hospital because we need to monitor your blood pressure or what. And that is where it becomes a qualification. In that instance, when you look at our opinion in the audit report, it will always say, except for the matters referred to. And then we isolate either assets or income, revenue, the specific component. Except for this, the financial statement is a fair presentation. So their patient is just in the middle ward. And then if they regret even further with the assets of the disclaimer, we say that they're actually in ICU and they need constant, daily, intensive monitoring to get out of that state that they're in. And there will be specific wording in terms of disclaimer to say that there is a limitation and we cannot express, and for the asset will indicate that there's a disagreement and that the statement is not a fair reflection of the information that we found.
In our everyday language, then we say that is an adverse opinion. And this one is a disclaimer. But the auditor general doesn't say, I have a disclaimer opinion. He says that the level sufficient appropriate audit evidence to express any opinion. When you say that, we then know that after you have a disclaimer.
So before we get to the opinion, and luckily, I mean, for 5 years, there wasn't a situation in this portfolio. Unfortunately, there's no example that I cannot give in terms of that. But before you get to the opinion and the qualification or the disclaimer or access, there will be paragraphs to say basis for qualification or basis for adverse or basis for disclaimer. And then we will list all those. So in absence of that, it is unqualified.
Listen, if I can just assist the member also. If I know you're referring to the annual report, the whole report. If you look at paragraph 60, in my opinion, the financial statements presented, they're already given in detail. And if you go to paragraph 16, which is under report and other legal and regulatory case, I did not say any. So when you add those together, then you get to P. But yeah, we don't mention P.
I allowed you because you are a lady. Otherwise, if it was him, I would have said, no. Let's not get into that report because we are now getting into dangerous grounds in the absence of other members and in the absence of the department as well. But I understood you on what basis, just to get clarification on, yeah. Yes, madam. So, yeah.
On what basis would exemption of the modified cash standard be awarded?
Okay, in terms of the extension, I know you've seen it in the current tape, 13-14, that's why you mentioned it. Okay,
if you look at it, an exemption is actually a non-adherence to a specific part of a standard. And when you go, when you apply for an exemption, you need to indicate the reason for you not being able to apply. Maybe it's too late in terms of a body process or will complete, in terms of it being too big, meaning too many items being affected, in terms of the timing as well, how late was the exemption granted. What will happen here, the department will have to go back to Jersey and request that exemption, which has come from the Accountant General himself and has been signed off by the Accountant General. And when an exemption is given, it's only given for 1 year. It's not really issued in the next year, which means if there's an exemption, it must be fixed up going forward.
Thank you,
Cordelia.
So, ladies and gentlemen from the Office of the Auditor General, again, Bendelas, thank you. This is quite helpful. Other people might think that it is not, but I can assure you that we have learned a lot, and this will come in handy for all of us as we do our work. In the main, what we have done assists us in knowing that the department has been able to use the financially allocated resources in pursuance of their strategic plans, basically, and nothing else, or strategic objectives, and which you have audited as well, whether there was adherence to. But you also say that don't only look at that, what is the political instruction that even comes from SONA, so that you acquaint yourself with those as well. What are the estimates that comes from Treasury, and indeed we within those estimates in pursuing the performance and financial accounting of the department. But broadly, all you said, did the department deliver on its promises with the financial resources allocated? And I think this will come a long way in assisting us to do our oversight work, where you can't come with the heavy stick, you know that we will. You will tell us what are these issues, and you reflect on them. By the way, I must also indicate that I have met in my capacity as the chair with the Office of the Auditor General, where they've raised the 2013-2014 audit issues before even we got these books. Before those books, these books were the various annual reports, which also include the audit opinions, were given to Parliament. So indeed, I was favored by the Office of the Auditor General with their views on the audit. And then again, it assists all of us to be on top of the game. But not for ourselves, but for the people who brought all of us here. Because if we don't do so, we are not worth to be called public representatives. If we can't ensure that the resources, and by the way, all of us get taxed, and we complain, and our tax is even more, I think it's 40% or somewhere there. So out of this meager salary we get taxed 40%, which then goes to this issue that we're talking about, these 1 million bags. That's where our money's go to, but not on our money's, but monies of the people who have sent us here, so that those monies are used prudently and effectively to pursue areas of their needs, as identified by ourselves, because they have sent us here as governments, as whatever, but our work is even more different, is that we must then oversight to these government plans, these objectives that government has put in, and even see whether these objectives stick to the needs of our people in the first place. That's what we interrogate them when we do with the budget process, etc. But again, from our side, thank you very much. This is helpful. We will use this information in the next work that we're going to do in October. But of course, we will also continue this relationship that we have been able to strengthen with yourselves. The Office of the Auditor General, we are very, very thankful. We know it's almost around 11:30. Is there food? You know, one thing that is always available here is food. There's even journalists come here and really enjoy themselves.
So, but those of you, no, I don't want any food. I think there's still food. We'll eat what is there, but I think we can now adjourn this meeting until we meet, members, until we meet in Kruger Wednesday evening, tomorrow evening. And thank you very much for coming, by the way. I thought that it might only be me, or me and somebody, but many people have requested apologies, because there's also an oversight by the Portfolio Committee on Social Services, oversight by Portfolio Committee on Water and Sanitation. So some of our members are serving in these committees as well. But of course there have been some difficulties with Selembe, who also may not be joining us. So that is something that he has not explained it, but it's something that is family related, so he won't be joining us in Kruger as well. But I will try and get hold of him so that if there is any way we can assist, we do so. But from our side, members of the AG's office, just say to the SAG, and it's an SG, just say to the AG, thank you very much, we really appreciate this. Members, thank you. This is the agenda.